want you to turn in your Bibles. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And what we're going to do, we're going to use James 4 as kind of a launch pad. For those of you that that have been following along, we've been using James 4 as kind of a it's a series where we're going through James 4. We're going to be in James 5 next week. But I want us to talk about something that I think is very significant. It's very, very important. And this is the issue of prayer. Something I'll guarantee you that most of us have at one time or another struggled with. Now, let's pause just for a second. I think prayer is underrated. I really do. And here's why. If you're following notes, if you're taking notes, you're following along, maybe you picked up your message guide on your way in, or you're on your app, I want you to write down my big point. And listen, it's not like, oh, really? Wow. No, this is huge. The reason why I say prayer is underrated is because God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God doesn't just move because we're that good. It's not like God's like, yeah, I'm pretty impressed with your performance, man. I actually want to get on your side. No. God answers the prayers of his kids. And I have a feeling that for many of us, we've been missing out on something. In fact, I've already talked to Barbara. Barbara, if you could help me out. The reason she's going to help me out is because we're going to have a little audience participation time. She's going to write down a few things, and my handwriting is atrocious. When I asked her, she's like, I don't think mine's that good. I was like, no, trust me. Hers is going to be like way better than mine. But here's what we're going to do. For the next few minutes, I just want us to think about this. I just want to think about this. What are we missing out on if we're not praying? Just call it out. Peace. I heard blessing.
Answered prayer.
Answers, yeah.
Communion with God.
Guidance. Okay, I'm going to pause just for a second. Vanna White, my great assistant, is just... So answer prayers. Just put communion. And I heard guidance. Relationship. Glorifying God. I heard power.
Reconciliation.
It's good. Reconciliation. You know, last night I was, I've never done this, but I spoke last night at Middleton. I'm doing like preaching four times this weekend. And so I was at Middleton and Pastor Jason was writing these things down. And so somebody called something out and he's like, can you give me another word for that? Because I don't think I can spell that one. So no, this is good. Reconciliation. Sufficiency? What?
Submission.
Oh, submission. Submission. Yeah, that's good. Restoration. What was that?
Confirmation that he hears
it. Confirmation? Okay, I'm going to pause. I'm just going to pause right here. This is amazing. This right here is amazing. So, yeah, confirmation. Okay, can I hear it from my assistant? Thank you, Barbara, for helping me out. You're awesome. Because I promise you that is so much better than mine. Okay, here's the deal. I wanted to do this because, and I know the reason I had to pause, we could go on and on and on putting things up here, what we might be missing out on if we're not praying. Now, James 4, verse 2, the end of verse 2 says this, you have not because you ask not. Now, last week, we talked about we talked about what wrong praying looks like, because he also goes on to say, you have not because you ask from selfish ambition, and we looked at that. You know, that's a life that's marked by war with other people. There's many times war within ourselves, many times war with God, and I will tell you, that's wrong praying. We're not going to see God move, but here's, I want to talk about praying rightly. What if God's people started to pray? What if we're not praying? What if we're missing out on this? Because I look at this list. This is what I want in my life. I would like to see this mark my family. Honestly, guys, I would love to see this mark our church. I would love it to make such an impact on this church that when we're out in the community, we would have the same issue that Peter addresses when he said, be ready to give a response when you are questioned for the hope that is within you. I wonder if many times if we've been questioned for the hope that's within us, and I wonder if many times the hope we've missed out on because we're obsessed with everything else. But what if God's people prayed? What if we prayed? Now, let's just admit, there are some things that keep us from praying. I didn't take a poll in this service. I think I did the other two. I asked the question, how many of you have at some point struggled when it comes to prayer and all of that? You know, everybody has a different response on this, but a lot of us have struggled across, wrestled across the years. Here's the thing that I've learned, that's because it could be any number of things. One thing could be, we just think that, I don't know, we have to become a different person when we pray. What I mean by that, you ever hear those people, like you're talking to them and you just have like a normal conversation, you're talking, and then you ask them to pray and they're like, oh dear, and they're like, their voice drops an octave and they start using weird ancient language from the 1600s, and you're like, who are you? And you're like, well, that's how you're supposed to pray. No. Like, I mean, you know, well, if I came inside and I'm, you know, in the house and Lori's like, hey, what would you like for supper? Oh, dearest Lorieth, my greatest wife of all great wives, Lori, if you could make me, I'd like breakfast for supper tonight. Lori, and you know, and then if you notice, like when we pray, we use God's name over and over. Lori, if you could, Lori, if only Lori, you could, Lori, give me some breakfast. Like, dude, what's up with you? She's like, hey, kids, call the white guys with white coats again. Take him away. But no, I think sometimes that we think we have to adopt some persona to pray. That's not it. I think sometimes when it comes to prayer, an issue is this: prayer just feels awkward. And maybe it's because we're not vulnerable with anybody else. And so vulnerability with God feels really weird. Why would I be vulnerable with God when I'm not vulnerable in any other part of life? And so it kind of feels weird. Maybe it's the fact that we just don't have positive role models. Maybe it's because when I was a kid, the church, they would use this phrase, and I want understand when I say this, and in no way am I trying to be sarcastic or disrespectful, but I didn't understand a phrase that they would use, and they would talk about praying through. It's like, well, man, just pray through. What's it mean to pray through? Literally, what's that mean? So what I figured out was it has something to do with emotion. That if emotionally we get worked up or we have this emotional experience or I have this emotional testimony, then I've prayed through. And what that means is like the other times I pray, it's just like, well, dude, I guess I'm just missing something. And so I think many times, I'm just going to call it, the reason many of us don't pray is because we think prayer is boring. Literally, it's something that we feel like we have to do to make God like us more. Let's check it off the list. And we miss out on what prayer is. Prayer is underrated because I'm here to tell you I am sick and tired and I am done with boring prayer meetings. I'm done with prayer meetings in which our prayer requests take more airtime than the prayer itself, where you go to a prayer meeting and you learn all the gossip about who's running off with who and who needs this, I'm done with that. Man, I want to see God move. And what I know is when we look at prayer, not as duty, but we look at prayer as an opportunity, man, it transforms everything. And so today, I just ask again this question, what if we prayed? We have not because we ask not. What if we learned how to pray rightly? And that's what I'm going to hit over the next few minutes because I believe God still answers prayer. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus has finished praying, and one of his disciples asked him, he said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He's referring to John the Baptist. We don't have any record of how John taught his disciples to pray. We just know this disciple, this unnamed disciple said, hey, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus responded, and he said to them, verse 2, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And I wonder if when he got done, they're like, that's it? Like, you're done? I mean, where's the emotional fervor praying through? Now, let's be honest. What we have here is not the only prayer that we're to pray, but what we find in this, though, is a structure for how we can pray. And I want to break this down over the next little bit. There are four things that jumped out to me as I was studying this week. And I just want to pass this on. Because church, what I would love more than anything is to pastor a praying church. And man, we have people to pray. I'm so thankful for how many of you have been praying. We're seeing God move. But man, if we were going to be honest, could we say that we are a church marked by prayer? We're more obsessed with the election results than we are with hearing from God. I can say that based on what I just see on Facebook, what I see on the news. It's what marks our culture, and many times it's what marks our church. What if God's people prayed? What if we prayed rightly? And what I see here is Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and there are four things that jump out. First of all, right praying is marked by allegiance to God. By allegiance to God. And I like the fact that Jesus starts off this simple prayer, this example, by saying, pray this way, Father, hallowed be your name. Now, I have some people that push back when we talk about Father because they're like, I had a bad example of a dad. I had a dad who was maybe you had a dad that was abusive. And so this whole thing of God as a father, you're like, I would rather use another analogy because that really has messed me up. Maybe you had a dad that was distant, never satisfied, whatever the case. Here's what I would say though. Let's not allow our experience of a poor excuse for a father do away with the truth that there is an ideal father. There is a good father. And what we see, this is one of the most beautiful beautiful titles we find all through Scripture. This relationship, it's a very personal relationship. God wants us to address him as Father. And this Father is introduced to us in many ways. We learn who he is in Scripture. In fact, what we see in Psalm 46, this is a Father who is present. He is a very present help in time of need. What we see in Psalm 103, this is a father who has compassion on his kids. In Romans chapter 8, we see a father who has unconditional love for his kids. There is absolutely nothing that can separate you from my love for you is what he tells us in Romans chapter 8. What we see in Hebrews 12 is a father who loves us enough to discipline us. He cares enough about us that he's willing to teach us, to coach us, to discipline us. And all through the book of Proverbs, and it's literally written from a father to a son. And what we see is God the Father is one who gives us clarity how to live practically in this day and age. He shows us what wisdom looks like. All through the pages of Scripture, we see a father who is good, a father who is great. I would also say this, a father who is worthy of honor and who wants to be honored. And so this word hallowed that we see here, Father, hallowed is your name, is probably, I doubt anybody walked in today and they're like, you use that word. I mean, anybody use the word hallowed today? Anybody? Like you walked in, hey, how are you doing, man? Man, just doing good. Isn't today a hallowed day? I bet nobody said that. It's not like a word we use a lot, but what it means, it really means worthy of honor. It's you are to be revered. You are to be honored. And what we do, what he's saying, and I'll tell you right now, if we will just stop and acknowledge who it is that we're praying to, it changes from us just going through the motions, having some boring prayers. In fact, on your message guides, if you'll flip around on the back or if you get your phone on the app, you scroll to the bottom, I've actually given you a link to check out. And I challenge you this week to explore. It's a site that lists the different names of God, or not all of them, but several names of God found in Scripture. Just a few of them. God is Elohim is a word that's used to describe him, which means he is the creator God. I'm gonna tell you what, things change when you go to prayer saying, man, I'm praying to the God who literally everything I see, he had some part in it in bringing it into being. All of a sudden, I was like, whoa, hold on a second. That's pretty amazing. Man, we see God referred to as El Elyon, and what that's referring to, this is the God Most High. This is the God who reigns, a God who is sovereign, who is large and in charge. What we see is God called, he's referred to as Jehovah. He is the covenant-making, promise-keeping God. If he makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. There is nothing that can get in his way. He's also referred to as Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides what his people need. He's referred to as Adonai. He is the Lord. He gets to call the shots. Just go to that site. Check it out. I promise you, if you use that, if you incorporate that in your prayer time, and you acknowledge who he is, you show your allegiance to him, it transforms the way we pray. But Jesus doesn't stop there. It's not just that, man, we acknowledge who he is and our allegiance to him. The thing that I like about this is he says, I want you to pray specifically. Right praying is marked by specific requests. Give us this day our daily bread. A couple of years ago, Pastor Jason and I were over in Kenya, and we had been just checking out what Missions of Hope International was doing, and long story short, it led to us partnering with them, starting a school, and there's some really cool news I'm going to celebrate, hopefully the next Sunday or so, what God's doing over there. But anyway, we had sat down for dinner with their founders, Wallace and Mary Kamau, and we were just talking about a number of different things, and just kind of in passing, Mary Kamau said something I had to come back and clarify. She said, you know, she said, one thing we've noticed when we've traveled to America, she said Americans pray different than Kenyans. And then she just kept on going. I'm like, whoa, hold on. I want to come back and what do you mean? What do you mean Americans pray different than Kenyans? And she didn't say, you know, condescending or anything like that. She said, no, she said, it's just weird. She said, we've been to America a few times, and when we visit America, it seems like you're always praying about things on down the road or praying about this. She said, you're very obsessed with fear of the future. And I'm like, okay. She said, it's just here in Kenya, we don't pray about the future, we pray about today. She said, because we if God doesn't show up, and if God doesn't provide, we don't eat. And she says, so, you know, when I heard, a lot of times I hear specific prayers like, God, would you give us enough rice today for 3 people? Because we need you to provide. And she said, I've just noticed that we pray specifically where, you know, a lot of times in America, we pray in generalities. And in the moment, I didn't think about this. It was later that I, as I stopped to reflect, I'm like, you know, actually, I might not like to admit that, but it's true. A lot of times we pray, Lord, would you bless our church? There's a lot of blessing in our prayers. Lord, bless this person, bless that person, bless our church, revive our church. Lord, would you be with? There's a lot of be withs in our prayers. Be with, bless, be with. It's just it's a lot of general prayers. I wonder what would happen if instead of praying general prayers, we started praying specifically. Because you know what I found out, guys? The more specifically we pray, the more clearly we see God move. And many times, we are blind to God's response because we've prayed so generally, we wouldn't know what God's move would look like when it shows up. So let's do something together, okay? It's just us. If you're watching online, you can do the same thing in your living room, right? It's just us, okay? How could we make this prayer more specific? Lord, would you be with my sister? We've all prayed a prayer like that. Lord, would you be with my parents? How would you take, Lord, be with my sister? How could you make that a specific prayer? Just shout it out. What's that? There you go. Call God by his name. Call your sister by her name. There you go. That's a simple, easy way to make it specific. Where I'm praying specifically for this person. Anything else? Help them to see Christ. Today, God, would you reveal yourself in a new way? Maybe, let's just, we're asking them to be with them because we know that they've been going through a tough time. They got a report from the doctor that scares them. So how do we pray? Lord, be with them. Okay, yeah. Lord, be with my sister. Call them by name. And God, I'm praying that today, either through your word or through a person you send to them, you would give them a truth about you that they're going to be able to testify to. Can you see how that changes how we pray specifically? Now, all of a sudden, when they testify to something, there is all of a sudden a bright ray of hope that showed up. It's like, whoa, what are you talking? Dude, are you serious, God? You did that? You showed up. Lord, would you revive our church? Man, that's a great prayer. I pray that prayer a lot. But what are we praying for when we pray Revival Church? I'll tell you what I'm praying for. Here's how I'm getting specific. I've prayed specifically this year again that God, I pray that you would peel back the hypocrisy that is in front of all of us. You'd bring secret sins to the surface so they can be dealt with. Revive our church. Now I'm gonna tell you what. That's a scary prayer to pray because I've prayed that before. And God answers that prayer. But here's the thing, if we're not praying specifically, if we say, Lord, revive our church, well, what's it mean when he revives our church? Does it mean that he revived us with generosity so he gave a certain amount for Christmas gifts for Christ? Is that revival? Does it mean this or does it mean that? Many times we don't know. And I think there are times we're praying so generally that we miss out on specific answers. I'm telling you, when we pray specifically, we get to see God answer specifically. And I would challenge you this week. Listen, if you're like, okay, man, I haven't prayed for a while. God, man, I'm gonna commit to this. I want to challenge you. Instead of praying through 72 pages of different needs that you've accumulated across the last decade or so, and there's nothing wrong with that, but listen to me. Many times we just get caught up in a mechanical going through the motions, saying names, and we're doing this. What if you prayed about a need specifically? And I challenge you to write it down and pray specifically and pray every day. And let's just see what God does to meet that need. I challenge you to do that this week. You see, what we see from Jesus, he's saying, man, I want you to pray, declaring your allegiance, understanding who the Father is, man, calling him by name and acknowledging who he is and who you're not. But at the same time, I want you to pray specifically, and I promise you, you start praying specifically, it gets away, you get through with boredom. Because Lori and I, when we're having a tough conversation about an emergency in the family, while I might not like that conversation, it is not a boring conversation. I am fully engaged. You know what I'm talking about. Dude, I'll tell you what, when we do this, man, it changes. But another thing I see here is that Jesus teaches us to also come with in humility and desperation. And you're like, well, those are two things. They should be 2 points. No, I think they're tied together. Forgive us our sins. This is an acknowledgement. I desperately need you. If it meant we acknowledge who we are and what we need. And I think sometimes we miss out and we don't ask because we think we're all that. You know, in Matthew, Jesus, in another section where he's talking about prayer, he's talking about this religious guy that's, you got it open there, you know what I'm talking about. This religious guy that's on the corner of the street. He's like, I always get this picture is like, me, I am the best. And literally he's praying, he's like, Lord, thank you for making me the great guy that I am. And just, he's going on. And then there's another guy who's this poor guy who doesn't have anything to his name. He's a sinner and he knows it. And he literally is beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus uses that in illustration. He said, which one do you think God's listening to? I'll tell you who he's listening to. He's listening to the guy who comes with humility and desperation and doesn't tell God how great I am, but says, man, I'm going to acknowledge how great you are and how desperately I need you. God, unless you forgive me, I don't have a chance. God, unless you move, I don't have a chance. Man, there's prayers of desperation. There's all kinds of different prayers of desperation. Okay, can I just pause? I had a friend that pastored down south, and you know, when I'm standing up here on the platform, I see things that happen. Like one time, I mean, I've seen people like fall asleep. Like, I mean, not even hiding. Like, I'm preaching. I'm like, seriously, I mean, am I that boring? And then, I mean, I have seen it all. I saw one guy, man, he got fired up and he was gonna say amen, and he was gonna raise his hand, and literally he came back and he literally hit his wife in the back of the head, raising, bam, she went down like that. I see all of this. And you need to pray for your pastor, because I'm ADD and sometimes I wanna acknowledge that, and that's not of God. But my friend, he was preaching, it was a Sunday night service, and there was a little four-year-old boy. Man, when I was a kid, I got in trouble all the time in church. You know, I just get bored, and this little kid, probably my friend was going too long, and he's kind of fidgeting around, and the dad did that whole thing. He was starting to make weird noises or whatever, and the dad was, you know, the whole clearing of the throat, and the boy looks, and you know, he straightens up, and he's sitting there. And it lasts for just a little bit, and then his sister was sitting beside him. He did something, and so his sister reacted, and so he got the, I don't know if you got this, the snap. And when you got the finger snap, at least my dad is like, dude, you like are walking on like really thin ice. And so, again, the boy looked over, and he straightened up, and he was, you know, trying to look straight ahead. He tried his best, but it did not last. And so he did something else, and my friend said he saw the dad look at his son, and he mouthed the words, "This is your final warning." Now, I don't know if a four-year-old even knew what that meant, but he probably did, because he straightened up, and it only lasted so long, and sure enough, man, something happened. And my friend said, I should have just stopped preaching, because he said when the dad stood up and picked up the four-year-old boy and started the walk of shame to the back of the church, he said, nobody was looking at me. Because the little boy was like, "Dad, I'm sorry. Dad, I'm sorry. Give me a second chance. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Because he knew what he was getting ready to experience. At least I knew what I was going to experience if that happened to me. And he said, you know, the whole way he's yelling. He gets to the final door and he makes one last ditch effort for help. And over the shoulder, he looks at all the people who are paying attention to him, not the pastor. And he says, "Y'all pray for me." I mean, there are prayers of desperation, and they look different from time to time. But you know, in all seriousness, I wonder what would happen if somehow, with God's help, we were able to break through the fog of complacency and we would realize how needy and desperate we really are. What if we came and we understood that unless God shows up, my family's not going to be saved. Unless God begins to change lives, and what I've been praying about, he begins to peel back the curtain and secret sins come to the surface, those sins won't be dealt. Unless God does that, people can go to hell going to church every single Sunday. What if we recognize that we desperately need God, and in humility and desperation, we came and we came and we came and we came again, because the fourth thing that Jesus, as we keep on reading through Luke 11, points out is that right praying also includes this little word, persistence. Persistence. We pray persistently. Any of you ever have a kid that was persistent? Well, yeah, I've got two of them at least. Maybe three, maybe all three. But Cassidy and Cole, they're, wow. Last night, I told Cassidy, I said, "Hey, I'm just giving you fair warning. I know you're leading worship today, but just so you know, I'm going to be using you as an illustration." And Cole was at the table, and he's like, he said, "You're going to be an illustration rookie." He said, "Dad's used me so much in stories, I'm a pro." Cassidy, this week's been a big week. She got her license, and she bought herself a car. Yeah, it's been a big week. Now, here's the thing. Let me tell you the story how that came about, though. Timing matters, because she turned 16, and every single day, multiple times a day, Cassidy would come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, when are we going to the DMV? Dad, when can I get my license? Dad, Have you checked out when they're opening? Can we get there early? Do I need to take off of school? Literally, multiple times a day. If she caught me before I went to work, she asked. The last that she would come in my room, the last thing before I went to sleep, she would ask again. And I'm just going to tell you right now, she wore me down. And perhaps the timing was moved up because I'm like, you win. I think there are times that we think that, like a parent sometimes gets tired of their kids asking, that God's going to get tired of us asking. And so because of that, we ask once, and we're like, well, God heard me, I asked once, and so, yeah, I left there. I mean, he's got the whole COVID pandemic to deal with. I mean, what is my little situation here? But there's something that we see in Scripture in which God actually wants us to keep on asking. In fact, Jesus, remember, he's talking about how to pray. He says this in verse 5. He said, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine's arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot give up. I cannot get up and give you anything. He's like, I tell you though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend. Yet, if it was nothing, if you weren't even friends, just because you had the guts to ask in the middle of the night to knock on the door at an inconvenient time, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And then Jesus made this application. He said, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and I underline these next 3 words in my Bible. I underline this because this really stood out to me. How much more? I love this. How much, you think you're generous and you're gonna be good to your kids? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will God provide peace and blessing and answers and communion and guidance and relationship and power and reconciliation and restoration and confirmation if we ask? And it's not like God's like, hey, ask me once, you get one shot, make it good. No. He says, keep asking. And can I tell you, I have no idea when it is that God moves. God does not answer prayers according to our calendar, but God answers prayer. God answers prayer, we ask. It's as simple as that. And there were 3 things that jumped out to me as I was reading this week, and I'll leave you with these 3 things. Number one, God wants us to come to him and ask. He wants us to come. He's not like, hey, you come, and then when you show up, he's like, actually, I'm pretty busy right now. Can you come back later? No, he says, come to me and ask. The second thing that jumped out to me was this. God not only wants us to come and ask, he wants to answer the prayers of his kids. He wants to answer the prayers of his kids. He's honored. When his kids come, it's like Cole coming to me saying, man, I need this. Dad, can you help fix this? I don't know how to fix it. Dad, can you fix this? And I'm like, yeah, I got this. And there's something, man, I'm glad that he came to me. I'm glad. God wants his kids to come, and he wants to answer the prayers of his kids. I shared this story probably just 2 or 3 months ago, so for some of you, you might remember these details, but man, it came back again, and I want to illustrate this. Last February, my son, Trey, called me, and Trey, he made this goal. He was a freshman. That was his freshman year. He made a goal. I'm going to pay my way through college. I want to graduate from college debt-free, and Dad, man, I want to do this. I want to work, and I'm gonna do this. And I'm proud of my boy. I'm proud that he's doing this. Well, he'd set aside his budget, has a job. Man, he's working his tail off, making his payments. He called me in February, and he said, hey, I just got my first bill for 2020. And he said, Dad, I don't know what to do. He said, somehow, When I was putting everything together, I must have missed something, and they're saying that there's $2,000 that's lacking on my bill, and I've got to pay it by the end of the semester. And he said, Dad, I don't know what to do. He said, I literally have maxed the hours that they're going to give me at work. He said, I don't know what to do. And here's the thing, man. He came to me, and I'm proud. I said, man, Trey, thanks for calling me. And I said, first of all, and you do this for your kids. I'm like, don't worry about it. Man, I'm going to talk to mom tonight. We're going to figure this out. Don't worry about it. We hung off the phone, and we got off the phone, and that night I talked to Lori, but then that night I went to bed. I'm laying there in bed. Before I go to sleep, it was as clear as I'm hearing my voice speaking. God said, man, you blew it. You blew an opportunity to teach your son about me. And it was so clear that the next day I called Trey back, and I said, bro, I said, actually, man, I feel like I missed an opportunity to let you develop some faith. And so Trey, instead of me just jumping in, I said, I want us to see what God's going to do. And I said, so would you commit? I said, we're going to pray every single day, and we're going to specifically pray that God miraculously shows up and comes up with $2,000. He's like, are you sure? Yeah, let's do this. Guys, we prayed every single day through the month of February. We prayed through March. In fact, I think it was either the end of March or first of April, my son came to me, and he said, Dad, you will never believe what happened. Now I want you to understand, we didn't tell anybody about this. We didn't broadcast it. This was just literally the only people that knew of this was Trey, me, and Lori. Trey said, you'll never believe what God did. He told me the whole story. Literally, God sent him miraculously through ways we could have never imagined. It wasn't through anybody he knew or anything like that. God miraculously sent him $2,030. He paid the bill and gave him Panda Express on top of it. I'm telling you right now, that's what I'm talking about. And dude, Trey told me, I will never forget this. I will never forget this. And man, I'm so glad that God got hold of my heart and I did not blow that opportunity. Because what Trey found out is what I found out, and what you will find out if we begin to pray. If we begin to pray rightly, God doesn't just want us to ask. God wants and loves to answer the prayers of his kids. And not the last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. God's gifts for his kids are better than your gifts for your kids. God has better gifts for his kids than we do for ours. He has better dreams and plans for your life than you have for yours. He has ways, he can work in ways that will blow your mind. That's why he's God and you're not. And so for us to go through life never praying, never asking, and missing out is ludicrous. We have access to the Father. We have an invitation to ask, to pray. Let's not blow this opportunity. Let's take advantage of this. Let's ask. I don't know how God's going to respond to your prayers. I don't know how he's going to show up. You might pray for a day and you see God move. It might be weeks or months. It might even be years. But let's not stop asking. You want to get rid of boring prayers? Man, pray like you mean it. Understand how desperately we need him, and let's understand who it is we're praying for. And all of a sudden, as we pray specifically and God shows up, it blows away this boring going through the motions thing that we call personal devotions. All of a sudden, we see and understand and experience that God does answer prayer. He'll answer prayer. My question is, what are we missing out on? Because we're not praying. We won't know until we start. So while I've given you some application steps on the back of your sermon guide, I have a specific challenge to you today. And I'm not going to do the whole thing where everybody bow your heads and close your eyes and nobody look. I'm not doing that till this morning. But I want you to, before you commit, I want you to listen totally to what I'm saying, okay? How many of you would commit to praying every single day this week? But I'm not asking you to pray 30 minutes. I'm not even asking you to pray. I'm not putting a time on anything. In fact, the prayer that Jesus taught them was a pretty short prayer. The issue is not the amount of time. In fact, I would actually, and I think God would actually rather you not heap up a bunch of empty words. In fact, Jesus said that. He said, don't heap up empty words like the Gentiles. Just ask, address what it is that you need. But if you are willing and you're committing, even if it's 30 seconds a day, but you're gonna pray, and here's what I'm asking. And don't pray generally, pray specifically. In fact, I would just ask that maybe it's just one thing you're gonna pray for this week, and pray for it persistently. Name it, just put it down, write it down, and let's see what God does. How many of you would say, yeah, I'll take the commitment, I'll pray every single day this week. Let me see your hands. Okay, hands down. I love this. Because I believe you're going to do it. And if you're like, I hope to do it. Listen, God gave, you got that contract with a smartphone bundle from Verizon for a reason. Put a little note that reminds you to pray at the beginning of the day. And who knows what's going to happen? Just leave it on there. You'll be reminded. It's not time I'm asking for. Just pray. Just ask. But here's what I know, guys. If this church, if we'll pray this week, get ready. If we say, hey, that's pretty awesome, I'm going to just keep doing that next week. Hello, here we go. We pray through the month of January, and we keep praying through the month of February, and we keep praying specifically into March and into April. First of all, I'm going to tell you, Easter service, this place is going to be rocking, because we're like, man, he's alive and he's working. It's like Aslan, C.S. Lewis, the lion is alive and he's at work. Watch out. Listen, if we'll start to pray, church, I'm telling you, things are getting ready to blow up. And it's not going to look like what we think it's going to look like. We're all consumed with power. We're consumed with buildings and lights and whatever. It might not be anything. It might not have anything to do with crowds. It might be the fact that God rips you apart and says, man, here's the issue that's been holding you back. Let's take some next steps. It might be that person you've been praying for, man, God has laid them on your heart, and man, they accept Christ as their Savior. It could be, I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm just telling you right now, we have not because we ask not, and God wants us to pray, and if we'll pray, God still answers prayer. Get ready. It's going to happen. And so God, as we leave this place today, we are committing to pray. And God, I'm convinced that they did not commit to pray. I'm hoping they didn't commit to pray out of peer pressure or because of me, but God, because of what we've just read, what Jesus taught us about prayer. Dear God, I am praying that as we leave here, we walk out of this place, that we will experience the transformation that takes place when we pray. Dear God, that we would understand that when we're not praying, we're declaring, God, we don't need you. But when we pray, it's a desperate cry of humility. God, if you don't move, we don't have a chance. And God, we need to see you move. I want to see souls saved. I want to see lives turned upside down. I want to see this city reached with the gospel. I want to see you move. Dear God, I want you to bring justice. I want you to bring hope. I want you to bring salvation. I believe that you can do this, but God, you have called your people by your name, and you've given us this incredible opportunity to pray, and forgive us for when we waste it into some boring, mind-numbing, go-through-the-motions exercise. God, forgive us for that. May we pray in desperation, knowing that you are the God who will be present, the God who will answer. And so, Father, even before we see it, I want to say thank you for what you're going to do, for what you have in store for your people. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Man, thanks for being here this morning. Show up Tuesday, 6:30. We're going to have an incredible prayer service. I promise you, it won't be a boring prayer service. Show up. Can't wait to see what God does. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.